Hello, Georgia. Superintendent Doherty here, back with another episode of the Soup of the Day podcast. We hope you're enjoying this. I'll tell you, we're having a lot of fun doing them. We have some great conversations taking place, and we're hoping that they're beneficial to you as well. We have another episode that we're filming now. We have a very special guest here with us, all the way from Sacramento, California, Abe Daniel.
Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah, for making the trek from California.
My very first trip to the state.
No way.
It is.
Okay.
It is.
All right. Well, we're so happy that you can make it. And we hope that California is treating you well.
It is.
Okay.
I often say that I'm living proof that there are still pastors and churches in California.
I love
there
it.
You go.
Everyone
there you
has
go.
Left the state. There's a couple of us still called there.
Okay. So well, great. Great. Well, Abe, just as an introduction, tell us a little bit about yourself. Now, you and I go way back years as a fellow DYD. You serving there in the Northern Cal District. But tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so my name is Abe Daniel, senior pastor of Trinity Life Center in Sacramento. I have been there now 10 years as
wow.
senior pastor.
Congratulations.
I began ministry, however, at the age of 18. Called into ministry at the age of 12, summer camps.
Wow, come on.
District summer camps, big fan.
Yeah.
And youth pastors encourage you, children's pastors as well. Take your students to camp.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Big fan.
There you go.
Call of God happened at the age of 12. And from age 12 to 18, I was in that mode of trying to figure this thing out. Middle school, high school. And right at the time of high school graduation, I got a phone call from a local church. I was put on staff at my home church for music ministry. And then another church called and said, we learned about who you are. And we can't afford a real youth pastor, so we wanted to know if you wanted to do it. That was how I began in pastoral ministry. And
wow.
I would youth pastor on a Wednesday night and then be at my home church for music ministry on Sunday mornings. And I did that from age 18 on.
Okay.
And then at that time began Bible college as well. And so unique journey, youth pastored in the local church, music pastor, interim senior pastor in that season. You already referenced, served
right.
as a district youth director for Northern California, Nevada, Assemblies of God.
Okay.
Did that from 2005 through 2013, and okay. then wow. went to what I would call a legacy church, a historic church within our fellowship and also within our city, mm-hmm. and have been in that season of revitalization. Now I get to say I've been there 10 years, and we have now revitalized three different times. And so
that's
kind of our journey.
So how about that?
In the midst of that, have had some opportunity to launch different ministries as well, okay. I think some of which we get to talk about.
We do. I am very excited about that. And just for those who are watching, when I took over the role as district secretary treasurer, just taking a sort of a sub-layer inspection of how we're doing things, our credentialing process and things of that nature. I remembered that you and I had had a conversation about this wonderful ministry that you launched called Pathway.
Right.
And that it was sort of a, and again, I had to come and meet with you and kind of get the nuts and bolts of it. But I remembered that, I think that there's an avenue out there that we can help credential our leaders in the next generation that is really a little bit more accessible and palatable to those that are wanting to do that. And so we kind of opened the door to revisit that. And why don't you tell us a little bit about Pathway?
Yeah. So Pathway began as a ministry while I was the district youth director. And so I now refer to version 1.0, 2.0, and 3.0.
Okay.
1.0 was, as the DYD, I got to launch what I would call apprentices. These were the graduates of Bible colleges, universities, master's commissions in the old days, internships, school of ministries that were connected to local churches, and walk them through their first year of pastoral ministry. And the reason for that was because I was watching a generation burn out.
Mm.
If they were coming out of an internship, it was about 9 to 12 months, and then they were burning out, in many cases not ever returning back to ministry.
Oh, my.
Wow.
If they were coming out of a Bible college, it was about 22 months. And that was just a Northern California, Nevada stat. That's not a nationwide anything. That was just our churches, our ministries.
Right.
And there was this epiphany, we have to do something different to walk leaders who are brand new to ministry
sure.
through their first year hand in hand.
Wow.
And in the 5 years that we had 1.0, we launched 72 leaders into full-time ministry, humbled, blessed, excited by that. And then I left and I became a senior pastor. I left what I would say, the trenches of training leaders to go back into really frontline ministry, out of the trench and really on the front line of battle. Fast forward, I'm a senior pastor, and I am looking for team.
Right.
I can't find anyone.
Yeah.
I'm calling our Bible colleges all over the United States, our Assemblies of God schools. I'm calling churches that have internships. By that point, master's commissions in Northern Cal and Nevada had really dried up.
Yep.
So I could not find the leadership pipeline.
Wow.
And after I left that district role, Pathway closed in its in that form out of the District Resource Center of North Cal Nevada. And so that was the moment where I just said, if no one has people for me, I need to relaunch. And so I asked our district, would you bless me with the opportunity of taking this? This was a district ministry, but this was my heart. This wasn't an initiative.
Certainly. Right.
And so 2.0 launched from the base of our local church. And we started bringing leaders that felt called in and sending them out to our region. But the base was different. The foundation of who we were as a local church versus a district office, way different.
Sure. Yes.
And culture was different.
Right.
The DNA of the local leader who felt this call was coming to us different today, and that was around 2016, 17. That was very different than the day of 2008 when we originally launched. And it wasn't that I would say it was failure, but it was not mass impact.
Okay.
Somewhere along the way, the need for credentials became a focus where we said, we are lacking theologically trained ministers in the local church.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'm a senior pastor. And again, my journey, I was 18 years old. I'm grateful for the family that I come from because my dad, who is an amazing Bible teacher, helped write my sermons. So I can say that they were theologically sound.
Wonderful.
Well, that's a great resource.
But that's not everyone's story.
Right.
How does a leader today, now granted, today's resources versus the 1990s when I began, there was no such thing as the internet where you get to download this or grab
You can't
this or do this. So a very different day. Cassette tapes, I think, were still a norm. Moving to CDs.
So fun fact.
Come on.
My first level of credentials was captured by using the mail-in Berean program.
Yeah, of course.
It was. You mailed it in. You had to have a proctor for the exam and all that. Not exactly user-friendly.
No. And so I'm looking for staff. I'm having conversations. And what I started to see are the number of leaders that I knew, but they did not have a credential.
Right.
They had served well in the local church. They had had success in the local church, but they lacked that theological foundation for ministry. And that was this part in which first staff member I hired that did not have a credential, I said to him, hey, you have 1 year to become certified with the Assemblies of God. Otherwise, we realize that you have no desire to be here. Well, he did it. But he crammed it, I think, in his last month, and it was a correspondence course.
Yeah.
And in doing so, I
wish I could say that was unusual.
I'm sorry.
That's not unusual.
That is not unusual.
No, it's not. And so along the journey, we started to say, this is a need. And our team began to work, and I serve as an executive presbyter, now a general presbyter for our district. Yeah. We were in a meeting, the Church-Based Bible Institute that we were using for credentials was being absorbed by a different church. And it was in that moment that I said, why are we using someone else's? And I sent a text to my staff pastor at that time, hey, we begin today. And so it was on that day that we submitted our application to become a recognized church-based Bible Institute with NorCal Nevada Assemblies of God. What we did not know is that we were making history. If we had tried to make history, I don't think we would have had success.
Okay.
That day, we became the first 100% digital church-based Bible Institute in the history of the Assemblies of God.
Oh, wow.
Did not know that. We just wanted to make it convenient for us.
Right. Okay.
How do we do this? Well, there are people that binge watch YouTube and Spotify playlists and so on and so forth. What if that concept hits with theological material that also counts towards this?
Right.
And that's kind of the genesis of had an amazing team, especially in our inception. And overnight, 28 courses, all what we would say curated, content from all over the world, and all of it was free, and we put it on an app. Sons of God said yes at the general council level, and we were off to the races.
Wow.
Created a custom app plus our website, and all of a sudden, we now have leaders from not just Northern California, not just Nevada, but now, hey, we've got this state, and we've got this state. We launched in this form April 1st, which wasn't a good day, by the way, to launch. April 1st, 2019, because some people actually would later tell me they thought it was a joke. They
right.
There's no way.
No way.
No way. Secretary Treasurer from one of the Washington districts, the Hispanic district, actually said to me, honestly, I thought it was April Fool's Day, $50 a month subscription for credential. It's not real. It's not real. And he said it wasn't until a year and a half later that I realized, oh, these guys weren't messing around. So that's my fault.
Well,
April 1st, 2019, we launched. It's 4.5 years later, and we've had, we're just short of 4,500 students that have leveraged our platform. All 50
incredible.
States.
Wonderful.
26 countries as of right now. Today, this morning, there are 1,130 students that are training right now for credentials with the Assemblies of God.
Incredible.
That's awesome.
And I want to celebrate Georgia for a few seconds.
Okay. Okay. 70, come on, drum roll.
Yeah. 245 leaders have leveraged Pathway.
245.
And today, there are 71 active students.
71 active students in the pipeline.
Advancing their credential with the Assemblies of
God. Incredible.
So that is awesome.
I came first to say thank you. Thank you for trusting us. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your vision to see ministers equipped and prayerfully see what God will continue to do as we
That is incredible. I love the story.
Yeah.
You know, and I love the fact that some of it was accidental, you know.
Well, that's my story.
Well, God gets the glory if you're trying too hard.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, if you're not trying too hard, he gets all the glory.
A leader I heard many years ago said the words, pride is taking credit for something only God can do.
Yes. Right.
And
yes.
I'm not smart enough. I don't have enough credentials behind my name to build in this case.
And that's incredible.
Today we say, especially as it relates to Pathway, but all ministry that God has trusted to us, I can't believe God has trusted this to us.
Incredible.
And we're in awe.
And not only domestic in 50 states, and specifically here in Georgia, but I think earlier in our conversation, you mentioned you're in other countries as
26
well.
26 countries.
That's awesome.
Today.
26 countries.
And so Pathway 3.0, the 26 countries right now are associated with 25 of the 26 are associated with missionary associates who
okay.
need to advance their credentials.
Yes.
So it sounds really extreme when you hear 26 countries, but it's really one person in this country, one person
sure.
because of our missionaries that are advancing to the full-time status. And in order to do that, you have to be ordained. And so that's our connection. The other side of that, the one country.
What's the one country? Yeah. I was going to ask. So, yeah. What's the one country?
One country is Denmark. And Denmark just signed on where a pastor of an international church said, we don't need this for credentials. I need this for the leadership pipeline that's lacking in my church.
Wow.
Can I use this as a discipleship resource? And I laughed and I said, sure. There's some dynamics because of the general council in the Netherlands connected to the general council of USA.
Sure.
So we said, so long as you understand that this is how this works, but yes, how can we serve?
What an incredible resource.
Yeah.
And now we're beginning that. And it's the first season where we're now having conversations with other general councils around the world. And we've just begun our Spanish translation. So
I was going to ask you about that. Same thought. I was like, what other languages are you going?
As of today, 6 of the first 11 courses for certified are now translated.
Incredible.
And by the end of this year, we will have that certified level completely done for Spanish speakers. We've also just begun Russian translation. That's a unique one.
Yeah, certainly.
The general superintendent of Russia, Ukraine, Assemblies of God, has indicated to us that their great need in rebuilding a post-war context, the ability of physically gathering for a Bible college course
certainly
may not be the norm.
Wow.
Can we take your material and go? And so we're now working. Our general superintendent has given us his blessing for us to pursue other general councils now around the world.
Wow.
And begin to serve in that way.
Well, Abe, I want to rejoice with you, with what God is doing through this. And the 71 that we have currently, students, is incredible for us because we, you know, are like in our conversation earlier, we talked about that we're needing that next generation of leaders to come and take their place in leadership. Right. And I've had the conversation with many of those saying, okay, so I feel a call to ministry.
Right.
Like I feel, but why do I need a piece of paper? Yes. Why do I need a card from the general counsel saying, because God called me, and so why do I need that? And that is an ongoing discussion that we have. Why do you need to be validated in that respect? And so do you have anything to offer to that?
I love this conversation. As an old DYD, this is the dialogue.
Yes.
Why should I say yes to the Assemblies of God?
Yes.
Well, I always struggled, and because I'm not from Georgia, I think I can get away with this right now. I always struggled with leaders who drew paychecks from Assemblies of God churches and had no problem cashing it for their income. And then saying, but I don't want the Assemblies of God.
Ooh.
That one hit very hard.
Ooh.
And again, not from your state, so I won't presume that that applies here.
Okay.
Just from where I'm from, but I don't think so. And So there's an ethical side to it that I have seen.
Certainly.
There's a practical side where I began to laugh saying, I would never physically want a doctor to treat me who said, you know what? I think I can do this.
Oh, preach that again, brother.
Come on now. Come on now.
I've never looked for a medical resource saying, you know what? This guy took the least, the easiest path, or in some cases, just kind of watched from the sidelines and said, okay, I think I got it.
I think I can do this.
Let me try this thing.
Sure.
We would never do that in the practical. Why would we do this with the spiritual?
So am I the only one that goes and looks on the wall of the doctor's office?
No, I look. Okay. That's why.
Okay, but do you Google the institution that they graduated from?
I have done it a few times if I didn't recognize it.
All right.
Because then I said, wait, is this real?
Exactly.
Because Photoshop, man, I've got a great team.
Oh, yeah. I can get a PhD from Harvard today on the internet for like $25, $30.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
Okay, so everybody has to call me doctor after that.
That's it. I have a standard with my staff, my pastoral staff, and this is one of the things that has blessed me. I serve the Assemblies of God because the Assemblies of God has given me so many opportunities.
Come on, man.
I'm humbled by the opportunities that have been trusted to me. And that goes back to the age of 18. A decap in the old days who said, hey, you're 18. We want you to come and I want you to lead worship for us.
Yeah.
Well, that's because at the age of 12, a senior pastor said, we're going to let you sit at this piano and try this thing out.
Wow.
He took the bullets.
Wow.
And it has given a foundation for me. And today, I get to serve my fellowship that is provided.
Yes.
With that said, I'm a senior pastor who has said to my team, I don't understand why you would not want this. And so here's the standard for us as a church, and senior pastors, use it as your own. If you want to be on the team, you got to wear the jersey.
I agree.
There's no sports team in the history of the world that is allowed. You get to keep your jersey. You can keep your jersey. Numbers are different. That's for identity.
Yep.
That's the personality. Fine. But the jersey's identical. Even the debate of who the greatest is.
If you're playing in the Pro Bowl,
that's it.
You're wearing that jersey.
Same jersey.
Yeah.
Same jersey.
It's not your team jersey. It's that because you are on the team.
You have been removed.
I love that.
And because of that, it has now given us the chance to say we've raised the standard.
Yes.
And the quality of what we are looking at has changed. Theologically sound is one. Here's what I used to say to youth pastors while I was a district youth director. There are four F's that I celebrate as a credential holder with the Assemblies of God. Number one, there's a financial blessing. By being credentialed, there is a covering.
Sure.
There is a financial benefit to me. That allows me with the housing allowance and a few of those type of elements.
Sure.
Second is fellowship. That fellowship, we call it, that's the old word. Today we call it friends.
Sure.
Today we would say network, but I wanted the letter F to match everything else. So forgive me, but fellowship or friends, my network is solid because of the Assemblies of God. And when I travel internationally, I get the privilege of going. And when I see that AG logo on a church building, I'm part of this.
Yes. It's our family.
And that is us. That's who we are. The third area is freedom. Never once has anyone given me the style of which I had to produce.
Mm. Yeah.
I have my 16 fundamentals. This is my lane. But the style is completely different.
Mm. Yes.
My old district superintendent said these words to us years ago. In the 1950s, the Assemblies of God was poised to meet the needs of that generation.
Yep.
You could go from one church to another and truly travel the entire coast, from coast to coast, and go every week and stop at a different church. And where you left off at one, you would pick up at the other.
Absolutely.
Right.
Today,
you're right.
That's not the case.
No.
And the reason for that is freedom. I have the freedom of style that is within the lane of our fundamentals. My style is based upon God's call and the personalities given to me. And I love that. And then the last word is the word force. I'm part of something that's larger than myself.
Come on.
Yeah.
I see everything with the next gen who want to be a part of a movement. Well, that's the Assemblies of God.
Yes.
It's not the only thing, but that's my force. That's the tribe that I get to be a part of. When I have these conversations with leaders, these are the things that just naturally come out. I don't want somebody standing up and preaching who doesn't understand what it means to stand up and preach. I don't want somebody to invest spiritually into my life who has not, as 2 Timothy says, studied to show yourself approved.
Yes.
Man.
Yes.
I've taken that personally. I was 18 years old. I didn't have a credential because there was not an on-ramp for an 18-year-old. I graduated Bible college, 22 years old, and began that journey and applied, and I received it. And they were crazy enough to say yes, and so I became. I didn't know that not everyone chooses ordination. I didn't realize that a lot of my class stopped.
They just stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, I go back to this is a part of me continuing. And with Pathway, we've had this prayer that we would not just settle for a credential, but it would perpetuate and begin to develop what I would call the lifelong learning posture.
Absolutely.
So because of that, we now partner with 8 of the Assemblies of God universities around the nation.
Yep.
We have transfer articulation agreements. So if a student takes all 28 courses that are required for certified license and ordination, that can transfer in as low as 18 units with one university and as high as 40 units. That's a third of a bachelor's degree. Great.
Come on.
And that has nothing to do with us. We don't get a kickback. We don't get anything from there.
Wow.
We just said we want our students to understand that this is not the end.
Incredible.
Credential is the beginning.
Yes,
so that we can, again, study.
So looking at this, and I'm being the beneficiary, and I handle credentialing, and this is what an amazing pathway it is for us to get people, especially those people that just struggle with, how do I get this without leaving my life?
Right.
I need this. So this has been an excellent resource.
It's our prayer.
But I just wanted to ask you, because this is an ever-evolving situation.
Sure.
How's this going to look like in the future? Where do you see yourself going with this?
Yeah. We're watching this kind of, and again, I'm in a season of leadership change. A director that I had from the beginning who helped me build our current platforms just resigned. Our next chapter I see is a globalization focus, global perspective. And so that's some of what we're beginning to develop with language translations and more. But I also am looking at this with the lens of continuing education.
Yes.
The personal development.
Absolutely.
I've sat with leaders, superintendents specifically. Yes. I'm struggling with this individual because they've never sat in a board meeting. And now they're a senior pastor and they're having to
You're reading our mail. Yeah, come on.
That's us right there.
And so the conversation I had, and we'll do our version of this where you get to help me with that very topic.
Yeah.
And here's the question. How do I become certified for board ministry in the local church?
Wow.
College presidents.
I think we just jinx each other with that? Wow. Okay.
Please don't.
Yeah.
I need you to talk.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
But I, the conversations I've had with college presidents have said to me, the future in education is certification.
Yes.
It's certified programs. However, the brick and mortar structure prevents them from developing them.
Of course.
Absolutely.
As a result, we've come to say, is there a way we can do this for you and be that on-ramp towards higher ed?
Yes.
And so we're looking at certification.
And as technology continues to be refined,
there's so much available.
Oh, it's going to be so easy to do. And I champion what you're saying, and I think I cut you off.
No,
did you have another point there?
So one of the new partners with us, we have some strategic partners that connect with us. Convoy of Hope has an amazing scope.
I love those guys, yes.
And I'm in awe of Hal Donaldson and the vision God has given, but really what God is allowing them to lead. Compassion-based ministry is something that they have developed curriculum for, and they have gifted it to our Assembly of God universities that want to begin to develop that as part of either a program or a separate degree. Convoy just gifted us their entire curriculum, and we're looking at the idea of a compassion-based certification.
Incredible.
But I also would say this, I'm not satisfied with it just being an elective. So we're also taking that content and incorporating it into the core curriculum right now.
Wow.
So that our leaders already come out with that as their DNA.
Incredible. That's
amazing. The ministry out of Florida, based out of Florida, One Hope Ministries.
Of course.
Over 2.1 plus billion children have received God's word because of their ministry. Hope Education that they have launched, their entire education initiative, they just gifted Pathway their next gen leadership curriculum.
Come on.
And we have begun to say, and this comes back to my passion as a former youth guy, how do I take this and help the youth pastor, children's pastor, next gen leader in the local church and see them fulfill what God's call is, but also have practical resources for what they need. And so we're looking at some of those elements.
Well, that's exciting.
Next chapters.
You know, I mean, wonderful, because we want to see, because the biggest need we have is to recruit, develop young leaders.
Yeah.
But a lot of them say, well, how does this affect me? I want to do this.
Good.
And this is amazing, because
so
if that gives us to say, well, there's a track you can do through Pathway.
Absolutely.
That will get you there.
Right.
That will even make it more incentivized for them to do it.
So good.
So that's cool. I'm very excited about
this. It's our prayer. There's a growing movement within the Assemblies of God, the great fear of our aging population.
Oh, boy.
That's where we live.
And as a senior pastor, I succeeded a 78-year-old senior pastor who had a massive heart attack in our church parking lot. And his death put the church that I jumped into a crisis mode. Two church splits in a six-month period after his death. You name it, every extreme. But the 78-year-old's passing, and he was our former district superintendent, came out of his third retirement to help a legacy church.
Wow.
I would tell you that he was 78 years old, but still that shocked a church and its leadership because they weren't prepared for that change.
Mm.
There's a part of me that has come back and laughed when we talk about the next generation. For so long, we've seen the next generation as labeled as those people maybe under the age of 40.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm laughing today because the next generation that's training with us through Pathway, my oldest student is 81 years old.
Come on.
My youngest student is age 8. One of our strategic partners is the CALLED initiative out of the National Office.
Yes, which we're very involved
and
in.
So we are the ones providing their credential courses so that it becomes the equivalent of an AP course.
How different will their lives be as an 8-year-old?
Right.
So I got saved at 10 years old.
There it is, yeah.
You know, and so how different is their life going to be by the time they become 18?
Yeah.
They're already in positions of leadership.
Well, this is a discipleship tool that prepares them.
Absolutely.
So they don't have to catch up when they're 18. They're ready.
That's right. The parent, the healthy parent is walking them through this. And that family has that as the structure.
Wow.
The local church pastors get to encourage along the way.
This is amazing.
But that's part of it. And so I'm now looking at, for us, Pathway would say to you, the next generation, well, the age range is from 8 to 81.
Yeah.
That 81-year-old does not hold a credential with the Assemblies of God. And the day that they hit and complete their course, that final course is submitted, they qualify for a credential. They're part of our next gen I don't care what their age is anymore.
Yeah.
I just need you to go serve. I just need you to
Jack, I am the next gen.
There you go. Right?
I'm the next gen superintendent. I don't care what you say if I'm 55.
I love that. I love that.
I'm adopting that. Well, Abe, I'm so excited by this. And when you're talking about having that credential, I want to add to a little bit of that, because I've had similar conversations with my young leaders, especially as a district youth director. Why do I need the card? Why do I need a card? I don't need them to validate. Well, what that provides, having this level of credential, you're telling people, the world, the church, that my peers have evaluated me.
That's right.
That I have sat, I have been weighed, and I have been approved. And so I've taken the test, I've done the classes, I have an understanding of these things. And so it tells the world, it tells the church, it tells my peers that there is a system in place to evaluate ministers and their suitability for ministry, and I've passed.
That's right.
And I mean, to me, I would want somebody to know that hey, I have worked at this thing. I put the hours in. And now you're making it even easier because it's on a phone. And we live on our cell phones.
That's the technology.
And looking at, as I was vetting, Pathway, and I'm looking at this, I'm like, how easy is this? Now, we don't make it so easy that everybody can do it. There is a work element behind it. You've got to do the work.
There are other programs that are easier than us.
Yeah.
And we've had those conversations. Hey, this is actually harder than I thought. Not really interested in. No problem. We'll refund. We'll help you lower your standard. That's fine. We're okay with that. But we've made it. The prayer was, we can make this easy, where affordability and accessibility, if we can take those two great stumbling blocks for a minister to advance.
Yes.
We can remove that. I think that we're off to the races.
Well, for me, and looking at that, what I'm trying to tell those that I'm talking to, because they say about that issue, I say, the thing is that you know that you did the work.
So yes.
You know it. Yeah. You know that I have done what I needed to do.
Sure.
And I have the recognition.
That's right.
Of my peers, so it gives you a platform for your own personal well-being to continue to do ministry. So I'm very excited about this. This is such an answer for us because we're trying to pull in those people that will never go to a school.
That's right.
Yeah, well, they're busy. Lives are busy, and we're busier today than we've ever been. And so I'm laying in bed, and I can just sit there. Okay, I can watch this video. I can learn something that I and be challenged by it. And I've seen the quality of what you guys do is excellent.
We're right now in the process of revamping all of our curriculum. It's the entire what we launched with our first version of our current form was let's get to market, so to speak, if there is such a thing. But we came back and said, we now have the opportunity of having conversations like this and beginning to discuss theological issues with some amazing leaders that actually have our AG voice.
Come on.
And that's something that actually is lacking with digital content right now.
Certainly.
So we've said, if it's lacking, then we have a responsibility to produce it. If we're going to retain this title of a digital church-based Bible Institute, then we need to produce. And so that's one of our newest focuses right now. And so we're revamping it all. And so we've taken all of our courses, we put it on the whiteboard, we've said, hey, this is not a leader that probably reflects the Assemblies of God to the best of our abilities. Their content is good, but that doesn't work to teach them our AG voice.
Certainly,
This is a Pentecostal body. I don't think that they even understand what that word is, so I don't know that I want them speaking to this subject. And that's what we get to now begin to supplement what we've already built.
Yeah.
Quality is good, but this will be a constant. We will never stop with the content creation and updating.
It. That's great.
It's a joy.
$50 a month.
$50 a month.
And you can take as many classes as you want.
Yeah, we had one student, I think it was a Chi Alpha student, who did 5 courses in 1 month, and we realized, I think it's because they didn't have the $50 for the second month.
Oh, wow.
So he just cramped.
It's a Chi Alpha.
That's a college kid.
I love
it. They didn't have the money.
I asked if he would allow me to use his name, and he never replied to the email, so I won't use his name. Okay. But as many as you want. We're seeing an average of about 1 course per month. It's about the norm
Okay.
for a student. Some can do more. very few have the ability. Everyone can at least do that. That's what we're seeing based upon what.
That's what we tell people is like, hey, even if it's just one a month, you can get this.
Yeah,
done.
Absolutely.
And so we have 71.
71. Active,
so, you know, I'm competitive a little bit. I don't know. You don't know that about me, but I don't know which district in the 50 has the most.
But are you asking?
Well, I don't want to know the name. I just want to know what the number possibly could be.
Yeah, I'll give you the number.
Because you know, I don't. You know, I what I would like to do is I would like to put this goal out there. I love goals. Don't you love goals? Hey, here's a goal. It's attainable. And so if we're at 71, you know, if that's 150 or what, and we need to double up, then that's fine too.
So number one is at 111.
We can do that.
That's so doable.
But I want you to know, second place, which is a friend of yours who is just as competitive.
I know who that is.
He's at 75.
Oh.
I don't know if I get in trouble for this, but we'll help you. We'll send the promo link.
Okay.
And we'll gift four free scholarships just to tie you. I mean, I'm all about this.
It's almost Christmas.
There we go.
Now, this podcast may come out after Christmas.
That's fair.
But it's almost Christmas. And so for Christmas, I would like to tell my friend, the superintendent in that district that's 75.
75.
Ah, that's only, we only need five. Right. We're 71.
So I'll give you the four scholarships.
Okay.
That will tie you, and then you guys do the rest.
Okay. Come on. Come on.
There you go.
Come on, Georgia.
I'm assuming that I'll be invited for his podcast at a later point.
Absolutely.
I'm kind of guaranteed we'll have it.
Yeah, and so, all right, Georgia, we are the little engine that could, okay? We're not a big district, but we do a lot of big things. And so, come on, let's do it. And let's get that next generation of leaders, regardless of the age, into the pipeline, get them trained up, and let's get them credentialed and start occupying those seats of leadership that you mentioned earlier. That we're coming up on that sort of that edge of a crisis that we have the boomers and that beginning to step away into retirement. Oh boy, wouldn't it be great if we had that pipeline?
We're watching right now, Dr. Tim Elmore, who's based out of Georgia.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a dear friend, and anything that he's written, I always read. And he is the one that has just released resources on generations. There are more generations working together in the workforce than at any other point in history.
True.
The Sunday he preached for my church, he took a poll. How many of you are boomers? How many of you? All the way down. He said it's the first church he ever preached in where all seven generations were actually in the same room. Wow. Not a nursery, but actually in the same room.
Wow.
And in that moment, I realized the same is true right now in pastoral ministry, where we're watching multiple generations sit at tables.
Yes.
There's such great opportunity, but there's this moment as well where the next gen who will receive that baton needs to be able to see these are what the veterans have already done.
Yes.
These are why they make the decisions. Yes. These are how they've made the decisions. And then the other side of that, the generation ready to hand that baton off, this is why this person thinks the way they do.
Yep.
This is why they see ministry from a different lens. This is not an attack on what I built. This is prayerfully the sustaining of the legacy that we get to
Come
build.
Come on, you're right.
These are the moments. And I think there's so much excitement right now. Most people complain about generational differences. I'm celebrating the fact that we get to be a part and see
Absolutely.
How God's going to use that.
You know, and it's a mindset issue. Yeah. If we can see the beauty in what God is doing in them, and through, you know, it may not be something that we gravitate towards or particularly enjoy or anything like that, but we see that God's hand is still on them.
Sure. Come on.
I remember as a young minister, I probably irritated that other generation that was in front of me, you know, and so, hey, you know, that's fine. Let's see the beauty in what they're doing. Let's see the fact that God has their hand on them, and let's help them get to where they are.
I love that idea of partnership.
I'm a 19-year-old, former 19-year-old kid who was told by my senior pastor, I want you to change the worship style from traditional to contemporary. I don't know what that, I still don't understand what that means decades later, but I will tell you, I didn't realize that he put a target on me and said,
I was going to say, like, oh, wow, your funeral, huh? Yeah, your funeral.
And I'm still here in ministry.
Okay,
later.
You survived it.
But there's this other side where as the young guy, I needed to learn what it meant to honor a generation who had gone before us.
Come on, you're right.
But as somebody coming up in the trenches, I also was a guy who got to say, I think that we can take this path. Pastor, sure. Let's go.
Sure.
I'm a living product of that. And the summons of God has been that family that has allowed me this opportunity.
Great. Well, we're going to bring it to a close. Okay. And I just want to say thank you thank for making you the so trek down here. Welcome awesome. To Georgia.
I love it.
I personally believe this is the most beautiful state. I mean, we've got mountains, we've got oceans, we've got it all.
I love it.
And so we're going to take you out to dinner tonight.
I'm honored.
And,
I'm freezing right now because it's not California. But
oh,
but,
no. Okay. All right.
This has been amazing.
Wow.
Sweet tea like none other.
Come on.
That's it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that the sweet tea in Georgia is just a little different than everywhere else because we enjoy putting enough sugar in it that you're on the verge of a diabetic coma.
I love it.
But
as a future diabetic, I'm bringing that in. I love it. I'll take it.
Okay, well, we're going to be putting some links up on this podcast on how to gain access to Pathways. We want to encourage you to do that, and we just want to say that we're believing in you. We know that God's got his hand upon you. So next generation, young person, if you're watching this, even if you're not even sure, I don't know what God's having me do, but I do know that I want to please Jesus with my life, then we want to make this resource available for you so that we can help you gain access to that next position that God has for you. So we're praying for you. We love you. We'll catch you on the next episode.